Chapter 37. It had taken a few hours, but Jesse had finally made his way to Bert's All-Star Grill. After some nosing around on his own, he'd gone to talk to Mackie at the firehouse. Mackie explained that unless one of the parties owned a home in Helton, there weren't many places where people could meet early in the morning. "Not likely this bunch owned property around here," Jesse said. "Collar's not blue enough, huh? Too good for drug dens and overcrowded union halls? Too rich, not too good." "I ain't come across many rich types in Helton," said Mackie. "But from where I sit, the rich seem to think rich equals good."
"Uh-huh.
They got some funny ideas about the world, rich people." Jesse shook his head. "Funny isn't the word I'd use. Still, I'd like to try rich on for size someday. Let me know how it fits." Mackie had given Jesse a list of 5 places: 3 illegal after-hours joints, a donut shop, and the grill. One of the after-hours joints was in what looked to be someone's house. No one came to the door when Jesse rang. The other 2 after-hours clubs ran out of legit day businesses, and everyone who would speak to Jesse seemed to have 2 things in common: ignorance and amnesia. As Tony Dolce, an infield instructor Jesse had in Class A ball, used to say, "Nobody knows nothing about nothing." He parked out in front of Bert's All-Star Grill, in almost the exact spot Harlan Salter IV's driver had parked the black Navigator. And Jesse, too, shook his head at the name of the place. He couldn't help but wonder what Bert was thinking when he gave the joint its name.
"Seat yourself," the waitress said, looking up from a glossy magazine. "Anywhere is good."
Jesse doubted that. Since he wanted to talk to the waitress, he took a seat close to her. He thought she must have been pretty once, but had succumbed to cigarettes, alcohol, and gravity. She had that odd kind of look, in that she couldn't have weighed more than 110 pounds in a suit of armor, yet was puffy and bloated. She had hurt blue eyes, eyes that had seen way too much, and not much of it good. Her amber hair was especially sad, as it was still quite lush and beautiful, though it could have done with a better cut. "What can I get you?" she said, a practiced smile on her face. "Will the eggs kill me in this place?"
"No, but the coffee might put you on the disabled list."
That caught Jesse off guard. "Why'd you say that?"
"Say what?"
"That thing about the disabled list," he said.
"I always say that. You know, the All-Star Grill and all. It's a joke. A little joke, I know, but..."
"Never mind. I'll have some scrambled eggs, whole wheat toast, fries."
"I was only joking about the coffee," she said. "It's pretty good."
"Coffee, too." She disappeared into the kitchen. Jesse could hear her shouting the order to the cook in Spanish. She reappeared with a glass of water in one hand and a coffee pot in the other. She put the water glass down, flipped up the coffee cup in front of Jesse, and poured from the pot.
"Cream's on the table. You need anything, just let me know."
"Maybe you can help me with something," he said. "Have you worked the early morning shifts here all week?" She didn't answer directly.
"Cop?"
He showed her his Paradise Chief's shield.
"Chief, I must be moving up in the world. I met a lot of cops in my time, fucked more than a few of them too, but never a chief."
He thought of Dee and smiled to himself. "I'm honored to be your first."
"Sharon," she said.
"I'm honored, Sharon." This time her smile was genuine.
"Yeah, I've been here all week. Not much action. Me, Hector in the kitchen, roaches."
"Where's Bert?"
"Dead for like 20 years, she said,
but didn't feel obliged to give more details. Jesse pulled out a photograph of Harlan Salter IV he'd downloaded off Coastline Consultants' website. "Was this guy in here?"
"He was. He had a slick operator with him. Handsome."
"Lawyer," Jesse said.
"I fucked a few of them, too."
Before Sharon could say another word, a Harley roared up out front of Bert's. The waitress's face took a sour turn. Jesse noticed her hands shaking. A bell rang, and a disembodied voice with a Hispanic accent called out,
"Order up!"
The waitress raced over to the pickup window and delivered Jesse's eggs. "You okay?" he said. But before she could answer, the front door swung open, and in stepped a big biker dude who looked like a summa cum laude graduate of Scumbag U. He was big, as in mountain big, and bald, with the kind of neck that bunched up and back. He wore a sleeveless black leather vest. The words Satan's Whores, Helton, were written out on the back of the vest, the words framing a devil's head atop the pin-up body of a nude woman. There was a bulge under the vest, above the guy's right hip, a big bulge. Probably something showy, Jesse thought. Maybe a desert eagle or a colt python. Whatever it was, Jesse was pretty sure the biker didn't have a carry permit for it. A dirty red bandana was sticking out of the back pocket of his shiny worn jeans, and the boots he was wearing would have given Frankenstein's monster a run for his money. The guy's arms and neck were covered in tats. Some of the tats were colorful and skillfully done, especially the skulls and swastikas. Some, not so much. Prison tats weren't usually prized for their beauty or intricate design. Jesse knew all about the whores. Every cop in New England did. They were responsible for most of the meth trafficking in this part of the country. Jesse ate his eggs and watched. "Hey, Spider," said Sharon, as she leaned over and kissed him. Spider grabbed her by the hair hard enough to make her gasp. "Where the fuck were you last night, bitch?" he said, still pulling her hair. "I told you, I couldn't get nobody to watch my kids. I can't just..." "I don't give a fuck about your little retarded bastards, bitch. They ain't mine. In the wild, you know what the new male in the Pride does to the cubs? He murders the little bastards. Just be happy I don't do the same to your little mixed-breed mongrels." Spider felt a tap on his shoulder and turned around, Sharon's hair still tight in his hand. He smiled a big gap-toothed smile at the sight of Jesse Stone standing next to him. "What, you gonna be a hero?" he said to Jesse. "Go sit down before somebody gets hurt." "Somebody's gonna get hurt, all right." Spider was no longer smiling. He let go of Sharon's hair and the waitress collapsed to the gritty tile floor of the restaurant. "When they're picking pieces of you out of the ceiling fan, don't say I didn't warn you, mister." Sharon spoke up. "Spider, don't. He's a..." "Shut up, bitch. I'll deal with you after I'm done with..." Spider didn't get to finish his sentence because Jesse Stone was busy burying his right foot into Spider's groin. Spider didn't go down immediately, but he did go down. When he went down, Jesse got Spider in an arm bar and applied enough pressure to where bones would soon start to break. "You hurt this woman again. You so much as breathe on her too hard. I'll do this to you again. But I'll do it in front of your gang brothers. In fact, I'll beat you down so bad in front of them that they'll take that pretty vest away from you and you'll be a novice all over again. Now when you can get up, apologize to Sharon, and get the hell out of my sight." Jesse let go. He reached under Spider's vest and pulled out the hunk of shiny metal that was lodged between the biker's body and waist of his jeans. "My guess is you don't have a permit for this ridiculous thing," Jesse said, ejecting a thumb-sized 50-caliber bullet from the chamber of the Desert Eagle. He ejected the clip, caught it, and flicked the 7 rounds out of the clip, one by one. When he was done, he put the empty clip on the floor and stomped it. He broke down the handgun, putting the barrel and slide in his pocket. He tossed the rest of it on the floor. It took Spider a few minutes to get his wind back and to get up. When he did exactly as he was told. Both Jesse and Sharon watched as Spider drove away, but Sharon looked more scared than pleased. Jesse gave her his card and wrote his cell number on the back. "What I told him, I was serious," he said. Sharon took the card, and she did seem to relax slightly. "About the other morning, there..." Jesse held up his hand and grabbed his cell. He recognized the number. "What's up, Molly?"
"Get back here, Jesse. We found the Salter kid alive."
Jesse hung up, threw a 20 on the table, and said, "I mean it. He hurts you again. Call." With that, he was out the door.